November 18, 2008, Rav Cohn.
Whenever you're ready.
Right.
Go ahead, give a talk. Tonight's share is sponsored by Larry Farkas in honor of Julie's birthday. 25th birthday.
This is becoming like a trend in our show.
Julie's
on honor of her anniversary. Okay, it's been my practice whenever I come to the shir to speak about food. Last time we spoke about the mitzvah of Eon Erev Yom Kippur, and tonight we're going to speak another mitzvah that has to do with food. Rabbi Apfel got up to the end of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Mem Beis by preparing for Shabbos. And then the Ramah picks up with some other issues, another issue that goes into preparing for Shabbos. So Ramah says that the practice is to make challah for Shabbos, to enough challah that one will, enough bread for Shabbos that one's going to need to fulfill the mitzvah of Hafrashas challah as well. So I wanted to take a little time just to, I thought the best approach tonight we really to take this as an opportunity to talk about the halachas of Hafrashas challah, and we'll come at the end to some discussion of how it fits into what the idea, the philosophy behind the mitzvah of challah, and how it fits into Shabbos as well. Very fascinating connection. The Torah says, for those who have free hands, we always start the discussion with the Chumash. Chumash says in Parsha Shlach, Maramakam number one, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people, Daber b'nei Yisrael, marta aleihem. You're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. This is immediately, this is in the wake, this is in Parsha Shlach, in the wake of the Chet HaMeraglim, and the Gzeir that the Jews would be in the Midbar for 40 years. They're at a pretty low point. Many of them don't see any way out at all. So Kadosh Baruch Hu immediately gives them a shot in the arm of optimism. You will come to Eretz Yisrael. Raila Dabri, you can come to Eretz Yisrael. Here's a mitzvah you're only going to keep once you get to Eretz Yisrael. This mitzvah didn't apply in the desert. You'll come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll stop eating man. You'll begin to eat bread. Tarimu truma l'Hashem. You take off a part of that dough, part of that bread is given as a gift. The first of your dough is given as a gift to the Kohen. L'Hashem. And the Chazal understand, based on the comparisons to other matanos, and we say you give it to Hashem, it doesn't mean it's burnt on his back, it means that you give it to the Kohen. So this is an interesting thing, because when we talk about Hafrashas Challah, there are a couple of different mitzvahs going on. One is what the Torah stresses here, that it's matan Hashem. That's one of the 24 matnas kahuna, the mitzvahs nesina. There's another mitzvah as well, which is what we usually talk about, the mitzvahs Hafrasha. That there's a mitzvah when you're, which the Torah mentions here as well, challah tarim and truma, to set aside a part, to recognize that it's not all the same, to set aside a part, to designate a part of it as challah, and that is not just a mitzvah, but that also involves an aveir. If you open up the front page of the book, if your hands are too greasy to follow along with the Maram Kamos, you can just follow along with the outline. It'll be a little easier. The first point is just to recognize that challah involves both a mitzvah and an aveira. There are opportunities and there are pitfalls here. Because if you're not mafresh challah, and up until the point that one is mafresh challah, the dough has a status of tevel. The dough is also, just as raw produce harvested in Eretz Yisrael is tevel, as aser until you take off trumas and masros. So too, once, even after you take off trumas and masros from your grain, but now you take that grain, you turn it into dough, then now it reverts again, a new status of tevel, until you're mafresh challah. So challah and truma are really similar, not only that they're both, you have a mitzvah to give them both to Kohen, but until you designate them and separate them from the rest, the entire mixture has an iser tevel on it. So this is, the stakes are high. So the first question, I want to think about two or three major questions. Number one, to talk about when is there a chiyuv of Hafrashas Challah and when is there not. So that's the one major question. Am I chayiv in Hafrashas Challah or not? And question number two, which is going to be here in Roman numeral 3, is going to be, assuming that you have to do Hafrashas Challah, how do you go about doing it? What exactly do you have to know? And then we'll end, if you have time, to talk a little bit about the fascinating wrinkle that Chazal have about Teknov Chal and Chuslaritz. A couple of very strange, one particularly strange din, and some musings at the end of Derech HaMachshava, and bringing it back to Hilchos Shabbos. So the first thing you got to know in terms of when is there a Chiyuv Chal? When is there a Chiyuv Chal? So step number one is it has to be made from the right ingredients. We'll get to what you're making, but step number one, you have to have the right ingredients. And the right ingredients, you can look, take a look at Maramaka number two, the opening Mishnayos in Maseches Challah. Mishnah says, Chamisha Dvarim Chayav in B'Challah, there are five types of grain that are Chayav in Challah. The dough made of these will be Chayav in Challah. Chitim, Sa'orin, Kusmin, Shibol, Shual, and Shifam, which are usually translated as wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. The five official grains. What's interesting is I threw in a little bit more of the Mishnah just to, for you to see. The Mishnah goes on to say that these five grains are not only important in the area of Parshas Challah. These five grains are important for our Parshas Challah, for Chadash, for the Mitzvah of Matzah, for the Isser of Chametz. These are the five grains that are always associated with Lechem. Whenever the Torah talks about Lechem, as the Torah does here, whenever the Torah talks about bread, bread is always defined as something that's made from the five grains. We know that one of the examples of lechem chumash is matzah, and matzah is something that could have become chametz and didn't. So it has to be something that is made from a grain that can potentially ferment and rise. So Chazal experimented and discovered that these are only five grains that can really rise in a significant way. These are the only five grains that produce chametz, and therefore the only five grains that produce matzah. And by extension, not only matzah, but any time you talk about a din of lechem in the chumash, so lechem, what the first step in defining lechem is it has to be made from one of these five grains. The interesting tidbit, there was a Tana who disagreed. There was a Tana who said there's a sixth grain as well, that orez, which we usually translate as rice, the rice also is a full member of this club. We do not assume that way. We assume there's no hafreshes chal on rice, there's no problem of chametz on rice, there's no matzah from rice, and so on and so forth. You don't bet on rice bread. The Tana of Yochanan ben Nuri disagreed, and he said, no, rice is a member of the club. So Yerushalmi asked the question. Yerushalmi says, hey, what are they arguing about? Just experiment. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, well, it also will be machmetz. If you make rice dough, that will rise too. So Yerushalmi says, well, how do you argue about a question of metzias? If you're not sure, so do an experiment and find out. Don't philosophize. So Yerushalmi says, no, they did. They did an experiment. That was the problem. The results were inconclusive. It was half-baked. No pun intended. It didn't really rise the way wheat and barley do, but it wasn't. There was something was going on. If you make corn dough, apparently, or buckwheat dough, or soy dough, nothing's going to happen at all. There will be no rising whatsoever. With the rice, there was some intermediate result. So Rabbi Yochanan said, that's a weak form of chimutz, but there was some degree of chimutz. So it's a member of the club. And the Chacham said, no, that's not chimutz, that's sirchum. Some sort of rotting process. That's not a true fermentation process. So that's why halacha l'maaseh, we say the rice doesn't count. So that's but these five grains are relevant, again, for matzah, for chametz, for brachos, for benching, and hamotzi, and for washing, and for hafreshes challah. Whenever you talk about lechem, you got to have these five grains. But there's more than just, that's step number one. The first step in order to be bread is you have to make from the five grains.
Not to skip ahead, but at what point do these grains constitute not the hafreshes challah? Meaning, like by adding sugar or apple juice?
Ah, good. We're going to come to that. Excellent. Very good. We're going to come to that. But you're right. It takes more than just, if you have a bowl of oatmeal, no one's going to say, you can have all the bowls of oatmeal you want. You're never going to wash. You're never going to bench. You can have, you're never going to mafresh challah. You're not going to yotze matzah with a bowl of oatmeal. Because it may be made from oats, but it's absolutely not lechem. There's more to lechem than just having the right ingredients. You also have to have a tzura of pas. So what's a tzura of pas? What's a stir of pas? So the two major things that go into making bread are number one, kneading, making the dough, and number two, baking. And there's a machlokes harishonim, how those two things fit together. Because the two defining characteristics of bread are that it's made with a dough, not with a batter. It's blila ava, it's thick. It hangs together, not like a cake batter. And number two is that bread is usually baked and not cooked. not cooked, not deep fried. In other words, it's done in dry heat. It's afia as opposed to bishel, as opposed to a wet heat. So, some rishon is a machlokas and tosus. So some bayitosus say that all we care about is baking. If it was baked, then it's bread. If it wasn't baked, it's not bread. I don't care if it's dough, if it's batter, it absolutely doesn't matter. That's what I think Reb Chaim HaKohen says, that the only defined characteristic of bread obviously has to be made with the five grains, and it has to have been baked. So, let's say if you have a cake, right? The cake is made from batter. It's blila raka. It's not made from dough, but it is baked. So Reb Chaim HaKohen would say, that's absolutely nothing to talk about. That's absolutely bread. But the reverse, if you take dough and you cook it, when do you have dough that you cook? So if you have donuts, that's what depends on how you make donuts. Sometimes donuts are made from batter.
Bagels are boiled.
I'm sorry?
Bagels.
Bagels which are boiled and not baked. Yeah. If they're only boiled, or if you have donuts, even if they're made from a thicker dough, or matzo balls, yeah, it's a great example, matzo balls. So that the Reb Chaim would say, if it's done in liquid, it's not bread. Because according to Reb Chaim, the only defined characteristic of lechem is afia. The other approach is Rabbeinu Tam says, no, either one is enough. Either it was baked, or it's a dough. So either characteristic of lechem, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is enough to make it bread. So halacha lamasa. When everyone agrees that it's chayav and challah, you're mafresh with a bracha. If it's a machlok, it's a mafresh zah bracha. In other words, whenever you're baking, again, it's five grains and you're baking, so then you're mafresh with a bracha. If it's belila ava mivushalas, if it's going to be a dough which you're cooking, or a dough which you're deep frying, so according to Rabbi Tam, you're chayav, according to Chaim, you're pater, you would say be mafresh without bracha. And if it's had nothing to say for itself, It's a batter, and you're baking or deep frying a batter, so then there's no chiv of freshness chal at all.
Your decision point for how fresh is chal is while it's still down. Should it go based on your ultimate
intention? Excellent. Very, very good. So Glenn is asking, one second, according to Rantam, according to Rantam, If I'm going to have a batter which I'm going to bake, I can make a cake. So what am I mafresh? That's a good question. So many assume that you shouldn't be mafresh it until after you bake it. Thank you very much. So we'll talk a little bit later about how exactly you're mafresh. Typically, the ideal, you can't be mafresh too early. You can't be mafresh before it's made into dough. You can't be mafresh raw flour. But on the other hand, the ideal is really to be mafresh while it's still dough. So if it's a hard dough, then you take off a chunk while it's still dough. If it's a batter, what you would do is you're going to want to be korei sheim challah after it's baked. That's the best in that situation. But you're not going to want to take a slice of the cake, and if you're making so much cake that you're being chayav and challah, you're not going to want to take a slice of the cake after it's ready baked. So what we would want to do is put aside a little bit of the batter in a cup, in a metal cup, and bake it separately, and then afterwards you'd be korei sheim challah on that. I'm sorry? You set aside, but you don't say erez a chal. We'll get to how you do hafrasha. Well, let's take a look a little bit. Well, what's your question? So, what's your question?
If you put a little bit separately, isn't it a separate whole thing, or is it?
It's still blunt together.
Yeah, you take it out separately, then you bake it.
Okay. So we're gonna have to come to that. Good. Well, everything will fall into place. Okay, so again, so that's one issue. One issue is the baking versus cooking, or baking versus deep frying, and dough versus batter. And another angle, even when it's baked or pan fried, sometimes it just doesn't have tzuras pas at all. For example. Here, take a look. It's the end of number 3. Sif Hey. This is Shulchan Aruch in the Hilchas Challah. Sif Hey. Shulchan tells a case of Trisa. What's Trisa? It's a Gemara in Brachas. Isa Sheblilas Taraka V'shovchnos Al Akira. You have a very thin dough, a very thin batter, which you just pour on a pan, or you pour on a stovetop. Mispashet aleh, it spreads out all the way v'nefes. That's what we call
pancake,
exactly. So that's potter, even though it's a dry heat, but that lacks any sort of a tzuras pas. He says, "Im yesh bekira guma, if you have an indentation, v'shofen osel asocha, you can pour the batter in there, so that already, that's cake. So then already, that's chashav lechem, that's chai. But if you have something like a pancake, or you have something, which the postman also stressed, the pancake is extremely, extremely liquidy, or you have something like Cheerios, which there is no loaf. They may be made from dough, and they may be baked, but there's no loaf shape at all. Where Tosa says a similar thing about spaghetti. There's no loaf at all. It's just a thread. It says it only has extent in one dimension.
How do you differentiate between a pancake and a pizza?
Right. So the difference is that, that's a good question. The difference is that pizza is made from dough. The pancake, not only is it made from batter, but it's a very, very thin batter.
There's also usually a lot of milk and stuff in the pancake.
Right. That's what makes it so thin. So if something's an extremely thin batter, or if it doesn't have any sense of loaf, it doesn't have extent in two or three dimensions, there's no tzuras pas at all.
So the muffin could be, the pan where you put it into in like a muffin, it's described like a muffin, but even if it's a thin batter,
right,
it still needs a fresh
one. That might need a fresh one, right. So the first thing you need to have in order to be chayav in chatar is to have a shem lechem. Number one, you have to have the right grain. Number two, you have to have whatever it takes to give it a shem pas. Let me stress one point in terms of shem pas. This is a very important nekuda. Chocolate chip cookies will work if you're going to make enough. It take a lot. Whenever you're talking about it, something that's not bread, but cakes and cookies, so you're always adding lots more of other ingredients. And we'll talk in a moment about shiurim. The shiur of Rosh Chala is a shiur of flour, not a shiur of the total recipe. So whenever you talk cakes and cookies, it's going to take a very large recipe, or you have to work in a bakery, or making a very large simcha at home, to be chayiv. But in principle, if you have enough to be chayiv, there is a chiyuv hafrasha on cake and cookies. Even though keep talking about lechem, and you make a mezonos on cookies, I just want to clarify a very important point. There is a notion in our Torah of a shem lechem. The notion in our Torah that some things made from grain are lechem and some things made from grain are not lechem. So oatmeal is not oatmeal cereal is not lechem even in our Torah. Shir is not lechem even in our Torah. Pancakes are not lechem even in our Torah. Donuts might not be lechem even in our Torah, and so on and so forth. But then within the things that are, so that means it's not going to have fresh challah, and even if you would manage to make it in a way that's not chumstick, it wouldn't be matzah, and so on and so forth. Within those things which are pas min haTorah, Chacham came along and Midrash Rabbanan split them into two groups: pas and pas baba kisnin. Pas baba kisnin is something which is pas, which min haTorah absolutely is bread, and it's chayav nefarsh l'schala. And if you eat enough of it, you'll have to bench min haTorah. But if you eat a small amount, less than the amount of kviya suda, Chazal said if you have a bread, you have a lechem, which it's the way it's made, its tzura indicates that it's a type that's meant for a snack rather than as a meal food. So that's a type of bread that you don't have to wash or bench on unless you're eating a very large amount. If you have a bread that's clearly it's meant as a meal food, you have bread or pizza, or according to many, pizza. So then that's absolutely bread, even Midrash Rabbanan. And as much or as little as you're going to eat, you're going to wash and bench and so on and so forth. But if you have pas baba kisnin, it is pas min haTorah cookie. Chocolate chip cookies are absolutely pas min haTorah. They're made from dough and they're baked. No reason they have a loaf. No reason not to be lechem. But since the tzurasa mochachas, the tzura of the cookie, obviously indicates it wasn't meant as the main course. Obviously, it was meant as dessert. So it's pas baba kisnin. So midrabanan for din drabanan, i.e. brachas, we say if you're not going to have a box full of cookies, so you just make a mezonos and you make an alamichia, there's no need to wash the dime. If you're going to have a box or two of cookies, if you're kaveh suit, then a chanami, then you're going to then Lipitor will be glad, and you're going to wash and bench in the whole nine yards. But that distinction between pas and pas baba kissin, that's a distinction midrabanan. The fact that you don't wash and bench on oatmeal, that's because oatmeal is not lechem at all. And even if you were to have 20 bowls of oatmeal, way more than a kviya suda, it's just not lechem. So you're never going to wash, you're never going to bench, you're never going to say hamotzi. So that's an important distinction. That there's non-lechem in HaTorah, and then within lechem in HaTorah, it's subdivided into pas and pas papakis. So for challah, we don't care about the distinction between bread and cookies. We just care about lechem. In the rice, we just care about lechem and Torah, exactly. Okay. Now the third thing you need to know for chiyuv, when is there a chiyuv chal, besides that, it has to have the right ingredients, namely the right grains, and the recipe has to be right, is the, we mentioned before, the shear. So where's the shear is a fascinating shear. The shear is given in Shulchan Aruch as a 43 beitzim. I think I have this here somewhere. No, we left that the shear. There's some discussion about the shear. We left out what the shear is. The shear is 43 beitzim. The shach has a gematria. If you're going to forget how many beitzim it is, he says the gematria of challah is 43, right? Higher mathematics. That's not why the shear is 43 beitzim. The shear is 43, for those who are precise, 43.2. Why is the shear 43.2 beitzim? Because that is amount, exactly. That's the amount, because the Torah says, Reish Narisa Sechem. It's when the amount of bread that will parallel what you got in the Midbar. How much did you get in the Midbar in Omer? A Sirah Seifa, a tenth of an Eifa. An Eifa was 432 beitzim. So the amount that they got every day was 43.2 beitzim. They ate a lot in Midbar. So that's a significant volume of food. That was the food for a day, 43.2 beitzim.
They ate all of it.
They had to.
Every day.
Yeah,
they finished everything they got.
There weren't a lot
of leave over. They're on a very strict diet. You can't eat too little, you can't eat too much.
They did a lot of walking, yeah.
Huh?
They did a lot of walking.
Right. Sometimes, it depends when.
Oh, that's true.
As it says in the Chumash, sometimes there was, every day they would be on the move. They would keep moving from day to day. Sometimes they would be in Kaddish, they were in Kaddish for 19 years. But the Gemara says that the mun didn't affect them. The mun was very perfect food. Fit their metabolism just right. Now, so halacha l'masa. So what does 43.2 beitzim mean in practical terms? So if you do the cheshbonos, so what it means is the standard practice is to assume that anything over five pounds of flour, or again, it's a shear of the flour. So if the recipe they're making is 5 pounds of flour or more, then they assume that the chiyuv chal for sure with the bracha. If it's less than 3 pounds of flour, we assume there's no chiyuv whatsoever. And in between, the practice is to eat mafresh without a bracha. So I think that translates into 11 cups and 17 cups of flour. I think you just look at a bag of flour, a 5 pound bag of flour, and you can do some arithmetic, you'll figure out, I think there are 17 cups of flour in a 5 pound bag. And so 3 pounds is 11 cups. So if you have a 7-cup recipe, there's no chafrasha at all. A 14-cup recipe, there's hafrasha with bracha. And then if you triple a 7-cup recipe, if 21 cups, you already have hafrasha with the bracha. Okay, that's the numbers. But that's not the interesting part. The interesting part of the shiurim is, whenever you talk about shiurim, you always try to figure out, well, how much counts together? How much do you aggregate? In other words, if you make a big bowl of dough, an enormous bowl of dough, does okay, fine. But let's say you're not. We're making Shabbat brachas in the house, so we're going to bake 10,000 bukalach, right? But it's going to be over a couple of months. We're going to bake and freeze and bake and freeze and bake and freeze, right? Or whatever it is, a couple of days, a couple of hours, whatever it is. But the point is, I'm not making one big bowl of dough. So what does it take for everything to be count together towards the shear? So Shulchan Aruch says there are three things. One of three ways for everything to be connected. Either you'll knead it all together. Then once it's kneaded all together, that's the easiest, because usually the chiyuv sets in when you need it. Once it's kneaded all together, you have a big bowl of dough that had 43.2 beitzim. Then there's a chiyuv hafrasha, nothing to talk about. Or if you didn't knead it all together, because you don't have an eating bowl large enough to hold that much dough. Ah, exactly. Well, your KitchenAid bowl is not. No, I don't think the KitchenAid bowl is large enough to hold 17 cups of flour at the same time, plus other ingredients. So, or you could have in the oven, you could have a neshicha, that it starts to, that neshicha literally means that they're biting each other. That means that the loaves touch to the extent that if you pull them apart, they'll pull apart from each other a little bit. Or you have tzir of sal. It's the third possibility. That when it comes, Mishnah and Chala says, when it comes out of the oven, you put it into this, or later, you put it in the same container. So if at some point in time, all of this dough you had your shear of the dough all together, either they're all together at kneading, or in the oven there was neshicha, or at a subsequent time, you baked them separately, you kept baking more and more, knowing they're all gonna end up in the same basket, and you slowly fill it more and more chalas in the same, well, let's say you're making for Purim. So you're making hamantash, whatever it is, and slowly, slowly, slowly you fill up, and it's all in this one enormous container. So once you hit the shear, so then everything becomes chayiv and chala. Here, take a look in number four. Huh? No.
So if every week you take one column.
Well, if you're eating, usually there's input and output, so it has to be all at the same time. But if somehow there's a magical. You magically turned off the output. For example, we need it for Purim, and
right.
We're not eating until Purim, and you start baking Hanukkah.
So
as long as at one point in time it's all still edible, and it's all in the same container.
So if you make Hamantash and you make it separately, you don't, they're not touching when you make them, you knead it, I guess each Hamantash separately, I guess, the dough, and then you put it in, you put them in different containers, you put, let's say, 10 in one container, 10 in another container, so no container itself gets the shear,
right.
You never have to
fresh. Right, then you will lose your chance in the mitzvah, right. Well, what this is going to mean practically is you're going to take, when you realize that's the case, you're going to take one hamantash at the end, after everything's baked. You're going to call that, you say that one hamantash, you're going to be, call that the challah for everything else. And that one hamantash, you'll treat as challah.
It's not terrible retroactive. Sorry?
I mean,
if I did do some output, and I took an IA a week ago, and now suddenly it wasn't
chayiv yet, right? It wasn't chayiv yet.
But it will become chayiv
stored in your oven.
Right.
Let's say you eat some out and then you put more in.
No, you have to have your shear,
the
3 to 5 pounds, in the container one time.
Half the shear, right?
Let's say like in a bracha shalom pot, where you know over the course of the week you keep putting stuff in, taking out, but you never had a shear one time. That's not.
No, but I'm saying
you have a cookie jar.
At some point,
no, let's say I in the old, you know, in your Bubba's house, there was a cookie jar, right? And it was up on top of whatever, right? So over the course of the year, she baked 10,000 pounds of cookies, but you never had more than 2 pounds. It kept going in and out, kept cycling in and out,
right.
But you never had your 5 pounds at one time, 5 pounds of flour. So then there's no chiv.
The question that I'm asking is that if you have half a shear in there,
right,
and let's say you take some out, all you need is to add more to make the rest of the shear. Otherwise, whatever's left in the basket can still combine with new.
Right. But whatever is eaten is not
going to. Whatever's in the basket is not.
Right, let's say there's 2 pounds worth. 2 pounds of flour. Again, it's always pounds of flour. 2 pounds worth of cookies, and then I ate 1 pound. Now I have one left, and I'm right. All I need to do is add another four. I'll be mafers the bracha. Right, exactly. To take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in number four. What's our end time?
Okay.
So number four, Siman Shin Chav Hei. So the follow-up Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Shtei Iso She'im B'Shem Achas Kishir. Two does, neither one had a shear. If either one had a shear, that's the end of the story. If neither one had a shear, so we lost our opportunity for it to be a shear method number one, to have a tziruf at the time of kneading the dough. If no gozu bazu, if subsequently they touch each other, either in the oven or before the oven, to the extent, the serious contact, to the extent that they would pull away from each other, if you separate them, they'll pull away from each other a little bit, mitstarf. Then they are mitstarf. It may be min haroi litstarf. If they're from a type, that can't be mitzvah. What that means, I won't get into the details, but the Mishnayos, and therefore Shulchan Aruch, have a long discussion about, can I mix, be mitzvah of different grains together. I have 3 pounds of oatmeal cookie. I have oatmeal and rye and this, that. Different recipes made from different grains. That gets a lot more complicated. So should that come up, you got to ask that child. You got to work that out slowly and carefully. But we'll assume for simplicity's sake that everything is made from flour or everything is being made from spelt. Either you are allergic to wheat or you're not allergic to wheat. Whatever it is, everything's the same thing. If you have a mix of oats, one is oats and one is wheat, you got to figure it out. But on the assumption that everything is mitzdarf together, one big happy family, so then if they're stuck a little bit, they adhere to each other, then that also counts.
Even if it's something that you don't want to have. You have no intent for it and it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And then Aaron and Bakim, well, let's say they're not stuck together. Let's say they didn't touch, either they're just not squeezed together that much, or they didn't touch until after they're baked. Obviously, at that point, you hope they're not sticking together anymore. In Ainid Bakim, Vahim Basal Echa, but they're in a single basket, a single kli, Hatzal Mesarfon. The basket makes them into, the kli makes them into one, even not touching at all. I feel Achashenef of Anasapas. Even after they're baked, then they come out of the oven, then they go into the basket, they still can be mischayev at that point. But in the sonam al tavla she'en levizbeis, if you put them on a flat board that doesn't have a rim, so they're not being contained by the kli, then einam mitzdarfen. The idea of sal mitzarev is that all the pieces of bread are at least partially contained within the kli. So if it's just a flat surface, they're all on the same counter, they're all on the same flat board, on the same table, that's not good enough. And then at the end, the very last line, the Rama adds, Yesh Misha Omer, She Mechas Apas B'Mapa, Chashav Kmo Kli L'Tzar, you can also use a towel, and just cover them. Let's say you want to, man or woman wants to be Mapa Shchala, but there's no way to fit everything in the mixer at the same time, so you make more, and eventually, you have it all on the counter. Ideally, like I said, the best time to mafer shchala is while it's dough. So you're glad to do that, but just there's no way for you to stick it in the bowl at the same time. And you don't want to start sticking your bread together. It's going to ruin everything. So what do? You let it all rise. Slowly you make more. You have all of your unbaked challah on the counter. And then, either you have a big pan that's big enough to hold everything, or you just take a sheet and throw it over for a second, cover everything with the same sheet, and there's your tzir of sal right there. And then once it's all chayiv, then you're gonna have one little piece that you ready to set aside, one little bowl of dough, you throw the sheet or the towel over everything, that's the mapa, and then now you mafresh.
Is that powder stuff do you add later?
I'm sorry?
Is that powder new cookies or whatever
that you add later? Well, yeah, so once you mafresh and all those, so those are no longer, this comes back to what you're saying, they're no longer mitzdarf to a shear, because they're already taken care of. They're checked off. They're no longer active.
So now you have a new 5 pounds.
Right, so you would have to have a new whole 5 pounds to be chayv. Right, so if I have a cookie jar that has 7 pounds of cookies, but they're already had a hafrasha, and then 2 pounds that didn't, says there's no chayv. Right.
It's actually about the food or something.
Yeah.
If it keeps going, let's say, there's a baker who bakes.
That's what you mean. Yeah, that's my response. If I know that there's a bakery where the ingredients are kosher, and the kelim are kosher, but they're not mafresh challah, so that I have to mafresh challah myself. Right.
Or if you buy anything?
Now, normally, if there's a reliable hashgacha, so reliable hashgacha will, like the OU or the RCBC, they don't just take care of making sure they don't violate the first chalak of the Yardaya. They make sure that they're keeping all the dinim. So they, especially since it's not just a mitzvah, it's an iser to eat without a frasha. So it's not kosher. If there was a chiyuv challah,
you have to buy such a place, even if you buy less than a shear.
Yeah, because once, let's say the example we had, right? You did sal mitzarif. You threw all the bread, either you had an enormous bowl of dough, or you threw it all into the same basket, you covered it all with a sheet. And then you forgot to take challah. So then, now it remains chayiv, you don't have to take the sheet off. Now they're all for that moment connected, now they're all chayiv. So even if they'll now go their merry way, it's a little too late.
So commercial bakery, if they're making dough over a period of time, each time they make a new batch of dough, you're going to have to be mafresh challah.
Right. So I think...
It's only if it's owned
by Jews. Right. If there's a shutfus of Jews and non-Jews, so that will get you off the hook.
So why?
And then even if I buy it later, even if Bishas B'shas, the chiyuv sets in either at the time of kneading or if it's a batter at the time of baking. But if the time of kneading and baking, it was not chayiv, so it wasn't a shear. If it didn't lend itself to chiyuv at all because it wasn't Isis Yisrael, so then the fact that I buy it later, it's already too late. But if at the time that it was kneaded and baked, it was Isis Yisrael, it was headed towards going to the box, just it didn't yet have a shear. But it's a type of stuff that lends itself to chiyuv. So then, at such time that they'll end up with a whole shear, then you'll be chayav. But if Isis Nachri doesn't lend itself to chiyuv at all.
So let's say I'm buying dough for non-Jew. Like for example, I buy Davis cookie dough and I'm doing buckets. Do I have a chiyuv of Hafrasha Skala after I buy it? Because now it's still dough. It's not baked yet.
Davis cookie?
No.
Assuming David's not Jewish.
Assuming he's not
David has an OU, but David has an OU because he has no chiyuv of Parshas Chal.
Now I'm buying dough. There's a lot. Even let's say you buy, there's a lot of baked goods. You could buy raw dough.
Right.
Bake off rolls.
Yeah. You finish the baking, right?
Right, you finish the baking. So do I have a chiyuv once I finish off that baking?
Well, you said, didn't you say yes? Either there's two times, either kneading or baking.
Right.
So I'm not sure about it. We got to take, this is a very good question. We've got to take a look in Shulchan Aruch later. I'm not sure about it, because here there was a real Elisha. So I'm not sure if you could be, I don't remember. If you could be Mischayev B'Shas Afiyah, if David sells you a container of cake batter, then definitely, and then you bake it, that's for sure going to be chayiv b'shas safiyah. On the assumption, as we paskin, that cake is chayiv. But in a case where there was a real kneading, probably a Mishnah in Chala, if there was a real kneading, that kneading was a b'ftur, then the Yisrael is going to do that fiyah. I'm not sure. It could be your takah project. We've got to take a look. We've got to take a look later. Yeah?
If you buy from a bakery that only takes 5 loaves a day, you buy the 5 loaves, but you collect it over a week. So it never had.
You managed not to eat it.
It never had the chiyuv of challah because it was never a shear. But when you gather it together and put it in a basket,
In principle, yes. It gets us into another Mishnah, which I wasn't going to raise, which is if you make it Isal Das L'Chalik, if you make it Isal initially, but with understanding that it's never going to be together again. So then sometimes you'll be potter. So if the bakery originally, a bakery where they're never making a shear, and they don't plan to sell to their one single loyal customer, they plan to sell to many customers. Happens to be that one loyal customer and no other customers, maybe because they have one loyal customer. So then they may adas l'chalik. In that case, because of that technicality, you might be potter. But in principle, if you're baking at home, and you know you're putting aside more and more and more, it's all going into the bucket, all going into the basket, then you get the time. And the shahar comes up with freezers, because if you have you get a full-size freezer, and you bake and put away and bake and put away, you might not even realize that at a certain point you're going to hit the chiyuv chal. So I think many posts are mekel, in that situation, for two reasons, because a combination of two considerations. Number one, everything is all together in the freezer, but each pair of challahs is in a separate bag. So it's hard to know how to look at that. You say it's Salma Tsarif if each one has its own subkli. Coupled with the fact that it's not clear that we consider a freezer to be a kli, which is relevant for other things like Tfilas Kelim. What do you call a kli? What do you not call a kli? There's good reason to think that a freezer might not be a kli. So between that and the fact that the everything's in its own subkli, so many are makel that you don't say tzir of sal on a freezer. Okay, so ad kan.
You got way further than how easily it gets.
Really?
How easily gets to the first line.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let's just recap what we've done, and then we'll spend the next, I was told to have another 5-10 minutes. So, unless you want to bring out dessert. I mean, without a
conference.
Rory's
not here to
dessert. So you can help me out.
Hot dog.
Everyone's eyeing the last two hot dogs.
For you, for the rabbit.
I'm sure. So up in that way, we discussed when is there a chiyuv challah, when is there and when is there not. That relates to number, again, the issue number one was the ingredients. You have to have the right grains. Number two is you have to have a tzuras lechem. We discussed what goes into making tzuras lechem. Number three, you have to have the shear, either the shear at the shas, the gilgul, at Easter when you didn't need the dough, or through and sticking together, or through Tziruf Sal. Now, assuming that you are Chayiv, so then you got to figure out a couple of quick, let's talk briefly about what exactly you do. And take a look at Sif in oh, there you go. Number four. Let's go back to number four, Sif Beis. Sif Beis in the Shulchan Aruch, the bottom of this first page. Im yesh b'chol isa kashir. If you do have dough that has a shear, I have more than one bucket of dough. Each one has its own shear. I have enormous like chasnachals. I have a bunch of them sitting on the counter. Each one alone is already chayv. So then, v'rotz l'hafrish mizu alzu. I don't want to be take off a little piece from each one. Ein sarach lo tziruf kli v'lo negia. Once everything we've been saying, you have to have in a single kli, or you have to have their touching and sticking together. That's in order to gather all little pieces together to make a shear. But once I have a shear, I just want to be mafrish. I'm going to say this is challah on that. So what the amount of connection you have to have between this and that? They still have to communicate with each other a little bit. That's some identification. But at that point, you don't need so much. You don't have to have as mamish matzuruf together. It's enough. Elokim sheshtein lefanav mefrishim izualzu. As long as they're both here, they're both on the same counter. Even if there's no tziruf sal, there's no anything. As long as if I have one in the freezer, one over there, that's not ideal. But as long as they're both in front of me, that's good enough. We'll go into a long discussion about this, but we will leave that for now. That's at that point, this is what we call mukaf. These have to be in proximity. In order to the challah and what it's being chal on, what it's taking the tefil status away from, they have to be in proximity to each other. Number two, you make a bracha. Again, we said if you have a full shear, 5 pounds, 17 cups, you make a bracha. So here's a fascinating, you turn to the top of this next page, Simon Shin Chav Ches, Sif Aleph. Vishash Yafresh Challah. What bracha do you make? Machlokas Mechaber Amma, what you say, very fascinating machlokas. Mechaber in the larger font says, Asher Kisham Savis Yivana Lafresh Truma. Then the Ramah says, oh, Lafresh Challah. So the Mechaber says, you say, you be Mafresh Truma, and the Ramah says, you say, you be Mafresh Challah. So the Vilna Gaon has a fascinating insight. No. So I think Sfaradim, I assume Sfaradim say Lafresh Truma, and Ashkenazi women say, or Ashkenazi men. What? I think he's being nice. He's being no. Like before, also he said Yesh Misha in number four. He said Yesh Misha Omer, and the Shach said Yesh Misha Omer. No one disagrees with that. So the Rama it's assumed that he prefers Lahafresh Challah. Maybe. The Vilna Gaon wants to explain, but what we naturally would have guessed, he'd say Lahafresh Challah. Why are you saying Lahafresh Truma? And the Mechaber is certainly only saying Lahafresh Truma. So the Vilna Gaon, the next piece, he says something fascinating. He says he prefers the Mechaber's approach, Lahafresh Truma. He says, I'll tell you why. Because why we say how it's not Truma? Isn't Truma you take from grain? He says, well, what? Huh? Because in the Chumash, it is referred to as Truma. In the Chumash, Challah means the dough. It doesn't mean that part that you give to the Kohen. It means the whole thing. From the Challah, you take off a Truma. So we, in the language of the Mishnah, we refer to Challah as that part that you take off. But in the language of the Chumash...
It's Challah, Tarimu, Truma, Kisvu, As, Goren,
Exactly, right. Ramar Shetzushtal. Very good, very good. Yes, it's Mam Shetusha, and the Dinim are very similar. That's why it's given to the Kohen, it's Asul Azarim, and the Misa B'Shamayim, the whole 9 yards. So the Vilna Gaon has a Raya. He says, when you make brachas, he claims, were always made in B'Lashon HaMikra. Chazal always Misakim Brachas. I tried to Misakim Brachas in Biblical Hebrew, and the best Raya is the opening mission of the sixth parak of Brachas, Ketz Mevarachim. He says, Al Peres Ha'ilon Ma'am Mevarach, what bracha do you say on fruit, on tree fruit? Peres Ha'ilon? What do you say? Bori Pri. Chayetz. Al Peres Ha'ilon? You say Bori Pri. Chayetz. Make up your mind. Either Paris Eilon, Paris Eitz. The answer is the Mishnah tells you what the case is. In Mishnaic Hebrew, Eitz means wood. Elon is a tree. Elon is really an Aramaic word. So the Mishnah, the Tanam say, oh, you're about to eat Paris Eilon, but the bracha isn't Bar Pri Ha'ilon because in biblical Hebrew, Eitz means both wood and a tree. Elon is Aramaic. So that's one. He has a similar raya. The Vilna Gaon that the language of the bracha tends to follow biblical Hebrew. But that's why he prefers lahafresh shur. I think a standard Ashkenazi practice is to say lahafresh chala. You have one more din. You're supposed lechatchil. One's supposed to stand. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. One's supposed to stand unless there's extenuating circumstances. One's supposed to stand when you make a bracha. The Pesachei Tshuva says it's what's his language? Tshuva says it's supposed to be pachad Hashem leneged einav. Person's going to make a bracha. So you should have particularly Birkas HaMitzvah. Should have a sense of awe for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shulchan Aruch has these extreme circumstances where someone's not so well dressed, so you need to be sitting in order to be proper enough to make the bracha. But under, that's a rather unusual circumstance. But in normal circumstances, a person has the option to stand. It's definitely preferable a person to stand out of a kavod for the bracha, of a kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is a name one is taking. It's important to recognize we make brachas hopefully around 100 times a day, if not more. We mentioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name many hundreds of times a day. It's worth at least once or twice a day to remember that we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and the sort of reverence that that we ought to have. You have another 3 minutes. So let's spend 1 minute on a curious puzzle. I promise the puzzling din of Chutz La'aretz. We'll spend 1 minute on that, and then we'll wrap up the last 2 minutes, Hashkafa and Shabbos. So for the next minute, let's talk about the following din. Take a look at number 6. Shulchan Aruch quotes a din from the Tanaim. Im ratza lechol tchil levachach yafresh chala v'chutz la'aretz mutter. You want to eat first, pay later. This is very contemporary. Eat first, pay later. I don't want nafresh chala. Now I'll get around to it. Right now I'm hungry. Jump in. If it's only in Chutz La'aretz, it's fine. If it's in Eretz Yisrael, where the Chiyuv Chala is Daraisa, or certainly more connected to Daraisa, it's not okay. But here, any Chala Midrabanan, the whole Chala Chutz La'aretz is the only Midrabanan, Chala Midrabanan, that's fine. Wow. So what does that mean? That's very strange. It's very strange. So I'm going to eat the meat, I'll salt it later. It's treif. We said before, the dough is treif until you mafresh chala. How do you eat now, pay later? But right now it's not kosher. Retroactively, does it become kosher in your stomach? So what's going on? So there are two approaches to this. This is certainly a very unique din kula in Chalas Pozoros Drabadon. So there are two approaches in Poskim. One is to say, yeah, it works to my freya. It works to my freya. Retroactively, it becomes mutter. Which means it's a gamble. If you'll forget to mafresh later, then you're toast.
No,
the whole thing is only midrabanan to begin with. There's no chiyuv chala outside of Eretz Yisrael. The whole chiyuv chala to begin with is chutz la'aretz midrabanan. So they introduce this kula that you could work midrabanan, that you could work l'mafreya. The other approach is to say, no, you see from here that in chutz la'aretz there's no iser tevel. It's just that there's a mitzvah of hafrasha. So if you're going to eat the whole thing and not be mafresh anything, then you lost your mitzvah of hafrasha. But as long as you mafresh something, eat whatever you want. Those are the two approaches. Who cares? Before we tell who cares, this comes up. It's done. It's come up. It's ochel v'holech v'achach mafresh. Eat first and be mafresh later. Comes up on Shabbat. You realize Friday night that you were not mafresh challah. So then the problem is, what are you going to do? Because you can't. You're not be mafresh challah on Shabbos Yontif. You're not be mafresh shumah Shabbos Yontif because it's a form of tikkun. But I'm sorry. Right. So, but you want to eat. So what do you do? So the day is, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have a problem. If you're in Chutz, if it was baked in Chutz La'aretz, make sure to leave a couple of slices over, and after Shabbos, and don't say anything, eat the rest, at least put it on the side, and after Shabbos is over, you take out that slice, say, oh, this is challah on that, and on everything else I ate before. Yeah, but you don't do it until after Shabbos is over.
What I'm saying, you're not mishaking mana because you can eat it without. In other words, once you pass in the din that you can eat and come after later, then being after.
That's interesting. Why is Afrashas Chal and Chutz La'aretz Aser if it's not bimatra anything? I'm not.
It is bimatra.
Why is it taken? Because
you need to do it. Right.
Well, you're saying if you take the approach that there's no Isser Tevel at all, and it's just that there's a mitzvah of Rasha, but still, I couldn't eat everything. I still have to mafresh this. I'm not allowed to eat the whole thing, because then I'm being mevatel the mitzvah of Rasha.
Yeah, and you're also being mevatel. Same thing. What's the difference if you do it first or after?
Yeah, no, that.
You're not saying it's not
tevel. Right.
There's no iser of tevel, and even if you eat it all, that's okay. Leaving it over is just so you
can do the mitzvah. Right, do the mitzvah.
Well,
so
something to be in time with mitzvah. That's all.
Right.
If it happens that it gets eaten by accident, then it's not.
Right. Ah, so here's, let me give you an afkamina. Again, who cares? Philosophy? Who cares whether it's there is an iser tevel, but it's taken care of my frayer, there's no iser tevel at all. So here's a great case, we're not going to read inside, but you can take a look later if you want to. You have some time at Pische Tshuva. Here's a funny case. Erev Pesach, there's Friday night problem, except there's also Erev Pesach. You realize Friday night you weren't ma'afr shchala from your chalas, and tomorrow night is Pesach. So you're definitely not being ma'afr shchala tomorrow night. Because everything has to be gotten rid of tomorrow. So if you say it's just a mitzvah, usually you don't eat everything because you can lose your mitzvah, but there's no iser tevel, so go ahead and eat. That's fine. You can't do the mitzvah anyhow at this point, because you're going to have to mevar everything before Shabbos is over. There's nothing to lose by eating. But if you say, no, there's an iser tevel, just you can take care of l'mafreya, but here you know you're never going to take care of l'mafreya, because you know you have to get rid of everything tomorrow. You're never going to have an opportunity to mafer shchal on this dough. It's all going to be incinerated, or whatever. It's all going to be, not incinerated, it's all going to be disposed of somehow. So then you would say, look, there's an iser tevel. I know that I will never be able to take care of it, so then I have no right to be ochel now. So, sorry. The chal, just put it aside. You get someone else's chal. Do whatever you have to do, but no way to eat this. That's enough to meet him. There's a lot to say about the machshava of chal, which we don't have time for. Very briefly, the Rabbi Priel noted before that the, I think one of your first Torah, I think, was about the fact that the Torah, the ratio of Risos Sechem, the shear of Chala comes from the comparison to the man. There are a number of dinim that seem to come from the comparison to the man. It seems almost as though Chala picks up where man left off. It's Bevochem al-Arts. You come to Eretz Yisrael. Bevochem al-Lechem al-Arts. You start eating terrestrial bread. Instead of eating man, the lechem and Hashem, I start eating lechem and aretz, presumably it's going to be a little harder to maintain that awareness that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. You eat man, it's hard to miss it. If you're eating lechem and aretz, it's easy to think kochi otzim yadi. So it could be that the mitzvah of challah is meant to supplement that. That when a person is, challah is the product of all the sidur, the pas, of human effort, so it counters that. In Shulchan Aruch, they say there are two reasons why, and we close with this. The minig is dafka to be mischayiv in challah before Shabbos. So the two reasons given. One is, sounds a little more Kabbalistic. It's a tikkun for the chet of Adam Rishon. Chava played a role in the chet that took place on Friday. And that she was, Adam is referred to as chalas or shal olam. What does that mean? It's a little bit mysterious. What that means, it probably means that man, Adam and Chava, both, humankind, is a challah to the world the way challah is to the dough. That's the most ideal form. The chet of Eitz Hadas was ruining the most ideal form of creation. So as a partial tikkun, you're focused on doing that mitzvah that reinforce that. That certain things have to be handled with special care. That's the mitzvah of challah. The other approach is the Magen Avraham says something worth keeping in mind, that on the practice was the minhag developed on Shabbos. You don't eat pas palter. You don't eat pas akum. Even those who have we don't have the minhag to be mekel, that's mutter to eat non-Jewish bread if it's produced commercially. You can buy Arnold's bread with a chavkei, no problem. You can buy Entenmann's, you can buy Freyhofer's. But on Shabbos you avoid it. On Shabbos you're machmer to only eat pas Yisrael. So that's why you got to make sure to bake on Friday, whether it's going to be with the chiyuv chal or not, and make sure you have pas Yisrael. That's why you bake Jewish chal. The post can point out, according to that approach, so it's not just the chal that's supposed to be pas Yisrael. It means everything you eat. It means the cookies and the crackers and everything really ought to be over Shabbos, ought to be pas Yisrael. Thank you so much. I enjoyed this. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. I don't know what the story is next week, but I guess you'll figure out what you know then.
Next week, Seth Colliner will be giving shiur, because Rabbi Eiffel will be at his daughter's wedding. And the following week, that he has Sheva Bracha, Rabbi Hartstein will be here, and he's going to be giving shiur.
I asked Rabbi Eiffel whether he would plan to give a shiur between the chuppah and the first dance next week, and his eyes.